Welcome to Golden Mastermind Seminars Radio with your host, Jeffrey Combs.
Jeffrey Combs, President and Founder, Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. Welcome to Tuesday Facebook Live. It is my privilege and pleasure to be here with you. This formerly was the More Heart Than Talent Mindset Call. It is now the Golden Mastermind Seminars Facebook Live 2 for Tuesday. If you're just now coming on, it is my privilege to be here with you. It is 4:01 Eastern Standard Time, 1 o'clock in beautiful Northern California. I live in the San Joaquin Valley in Stockton, California, right below Sacramento and east of San Francisco. Scott Lucas, who is on Facebook Live today, has actually been here to Breakthroughs to Success. And Scott, I look forward to reinventing those events in the near future. Scott, privilege and pleasure to have been your coach for 2 years and to share the Clubhouse Live with you on Sunday nights. Scott, say hello to Jesse Moran Thompson. Jesse is one of us. Jesse, say hello to Scott. Scott brings a lot of sobriety to Golden Mastermind Seminars and is a first-class human being. Jesse, good to see you. Good to see you, Jesse. Say hello to Bryce, and I had a great call with Bryce. I'm looking forward to coaching you on Monday. Have a great afternoon. So welcome, everyone. If you're just coming on the Facebook Live, welcome. It is 4 o'clock, Aaron Knight, so good to share quality space with you, Aaron. It was great coaching you this morning. Everyone say hello to Amy Gilbert. Amy was a long-term client of mine. Oh, everyone, Lisa Schindler is on Facebook Live from Australia. Everyone say hello to Lisa. Lisa coached with me in 2015 and just rehired me. Lisa is a very, very successful restaurateur and has a beautiful, beautiful resort in Australia. Lisa, will you please post your resort here on Facebook? Show the folks that are my clients what you own, and she has an Airbnb in Australia. That's Lisa Schindler, everyone. If you haven't friended Lisa, please friend her. Yvonne, how are you? Yvonne, definitely follow Lisa. Lisa is definitely has a quality property that all of us should have it be one of our goals to go visit. Mark Saunders, long-term client, long-term ago. Jonna, how are you this afternoon? Jonna Blaylock from Texas is on Facebook Live. Welcome, everyone. It's my privilege to be here with you this afternoon. Beautiful afternoon. Do you realize we're coming up on May? It's soon. It's close. It's right around the corner. Everyone say hello to Caroline. Caroline is in Orlando. So let's move into the topic for today's Facebook Live. I specifically chose the topic of letting go of rejection. Now, rejection shows up in many areas of our life. Specifically in business, many new business owners have anxiety and uncomfortability with the possibility of being rejected. And being rejected, and it seldom ever really happens, but the possibility of it hinders a lot of people and puts them in a position that they procrastinate, they avoid a business. Rejection is also emotion that affects us deeply. Now, there's two words that have similarities. There's rejection and abandonment. Now, they're distinctly different, although uniquely similar. That's the contradiction. The similarity between the two is how we feel either during or after or the possibility of. Being rejected means we feel like we're going to be criticized. We're not good enough. We don't fit in. We don't have that feeling. We're not loved. And it's that feeling that makes us small because we're not good enough. So in grade school, if you were picked on by the girls, or if you were traumatized by the boys, or you were ridiculed, or there was other situations where you didn't feel you fit in, that would feel the feelings of rejection. Then it became personal. It became even deeper. If you were called names, if you were picked on, if you were traumatized, if you were singled out, if it became sexual or other situations that led to those deep feelings of not being good enough that you hold on to, those are feelings of rejection. Now, you can grow up in a household where people are emotionally unavailable and they provide food for you, they provide a living for you, and you may even live in the suburbs, and it looks like you have it made. You have a car, and it looks like you're the son of Barbie and Ken, or the daughter of Barbie and Ken, and it looks like you're living the good life. But a lot of times people don't know what's going on in that household, because oftentimes we have parents who are two left shoes. They don't really fit, and so they're in their own abandonment issues, and then they pass those abandonment issues down onto us. And then if one of our parents takes us on to be their mentor, their confidant, their advisor, and they tell us about the significant other, our father, our mother, well, this creates codependency issues, and it quantifies the situation. So the more you understand the cause that creates the effect of why you do what you do, you can begin practicing the process of letting go. Now, in the selling cycle, it's very common for people to join a business, start a business. It can be real estate, it can be insurance, it can be in wealth management, network marketing, direct sales, Amazon reselling, any multitude of situations that require sales, branding, and marketing skills. However, if you bring rejection issues to the table, if you have rejection consciousness, means that you feel rejected or you worry about rejection, there's a high probability that you will get ready to get ready. You will do a lot of studying. You'll listen to podcasts and downloads and CDs and cassettes from the old days and content, but you'll have anxiety about the possibility of being rejected. So Wojo says, if you want to read here in the comments, and good to see you, Wojo, I'm dealing with so much, I'm not good enough right now with work deadlines, and I don't know the best way to deal with them. I'll cover them with you on our next call, but he brings a very valid point. So this is also what happens is if we have these rejection issues, we tend to put them off to the side over here, and we're going to address them later. And what we'll do now is we'll study, we'll educate, we'll medicate. Kayla, good to see you this afternoon. David, good to see you this afternoon. And there's also this phenomenon where there are people who actually can sell for someone in a job, but then they can't sell for themselves. That, once again, that's story and meaning. It means we've given power to meaning. So it means I'm good for them, but I'm not good for me. And so that means it seems easier to sell my boss's products, my company's products, but I'm not good at selling myself. That's the story, and the meaning gets told, and then rejection becomes the emotion that we avoid. Because we have a story about rejection. We have a story that we're not going to be liked. We're not going to be accepted. We're going to make a mistake. We're going to say the wrong thing. We're going to blow the lead. And there's this other story about leads. If I only have a few leads, if I just hold on to them. And I've heard many salespeople say to me, well, it'd be a lot easier if I had more leads. I go, it's the same ease whether you have any leads or no leads. It's if you hold on to your leads and you stroke them, they're your pretty little pet. If you've ever seen the movie Tommy Boy, the scene where Chris Farley's in the restaurant where he asks the waitress, he goes, what's your name? And she goes, Helen. And she goes, you look like a Helen. And then he goes, Helen, let me tell you why I suck in sales. And he takes a biscuit and he goes, this is my sale, my pretty little pet. You can actually Google that after the Facebook Live. It's from the movie Tommy Boy, the restaurant scene with Let Me Tell You Why I Suck in Sales. It's comical. It's interesting. Because that's really how a lot of people are. They have a pretty little pet. They're leads that they avoid. They have these friends that are going to call one day and present a value pack. And it shows up in many forms of business. If you're cleaning houses, if you're a vendor, if you're a contractor, you know that there's people out there that require your services. But what happens to many people is they go, well, they're probably not home. I don't want to call them. It's the weekend or it's too late or any multitude of situations, because what it really means is I might break something. I might break a tree limb if I'm out there pruning their trees, or I might make a mistake. I might get in trouble. I'll just wait till a little later. I'll just put it off a little longer and I'll get around to it. But what it really means is there's deep anxiety about being rejected. And that rejection anxiety is nothing more than a story. And the story comes from the meaning that we gave to the past that we hold on to. And so now what it means is it means I can't do this because of that. And so that means I'm so stuck and overwhelmed here that I'm just going to tiptoe quietly through life. I'm going to pretend like I own a business, but not really do anything. And I might move from company, or I might move from vocation to vocation, but I'm still going to avoid being rejected. The reality of it is, in conversation, in communication, seldom are you rejected emotionally. Now, when someone says, I'm not interested, they just said, I'm not interested. They didn't say, I don't like you. When someone says, let me get back to you, what they're really saying is more than likely, they're not interested and they're just being nice and they're not going to get back to you. They didn't say, I don't like you. And if someone says, let me run it by my husband, the fireman, my significant other, the dog catcher, someone in the same emotional situation as I am, they're not saying, I dislike you. They're not saying, I hate you. They don't say, I'm rejecting you. They're telling you a story, or perhaps they're even telling you the facts. Whatever the situation is, if they're not buying from you, they're not buying from you from a few reasons. First of all, they're offering you an objection. And that objection, if you can't overcome it and you just feel it's not worth the energy, you let that situation go. And if you let that go, and you let that go diplomatically, and you let that go from a non-attachment state, then there's no rejection. But if you turn that into, what should I have done? What could I have done better? What did I say? What did I didn't say? What should I do? Who should I be? If you get into that analytical egoic mind, you can spend hours on this one phone call that can keep you from picking the phone up and or presenting your product, services, benefits, and features. It's your responsibility to really understand what letting go means. That means separating your feelings from the events and then not giving significance and meaning to situations that disempower you. And when you're disempowered, even if you do move into that engagement and you come from, oh my God, I'm gonna fuck this up. I mean, and then if you come from this, I'm a fuck up. I mean, I'm a loser. This always happens to me. This is the story that you're telling yourself. You may not be saying it through your mouth, but when you're communicating telepathically, you're in a mixed message. So you're in fight or flight. What you're actually saying is, please don't buy from me so I can feel rejected, I can be disappointed, and that's the payoff I live in. Now, addicts hate that term payoff. Payoff. It's like Jim Mora when they asked him about the playoffs when he was the Indianapolis Colts coach. If you want to see that on video, Google Jim Mora payoff. Payoff, playoffs. Well, the payoff is you get to continue to quit tiptoe quietly through life, perform in a very low level of energy, be undercompensated, underpaid, and be disappointed. Now, the ego goes, well, that's crazy. That's stupid. Why would I want to do that? It's not so much you want to do it. It's become a familiar behavior, and the body reacts to the stimulus in a state of fight or flight, and it goes right back into what's familiar. Now, when you are done with it, I mean, when you are done with it, you like the faces I make when done with it? When you are so done with it, when the pleasure isn't worth the pain, that's when an addict hits rock bottom. That's where most people change. It's very overrated, not necessary, but if you want to wait till you're hundreds of thousands of dollars in credit card debt and you're in the NFL club, no funds left, that would be your drama, not mine. I am a recovering drama addict. I have played that game. I have played that card deck where I'm down to the last card of a 52 deck and I go, okay, now I'll change. I only have one card left. I have no more credit. I have no more friends. I have no more money. Okay, God, I'll surrender now. It's very overrated. You can surrender today. And surrendering in our world doesn't mean you give up. Surrendering means you surrender your will. You stop talking so much. You become less sensitive and defensive. You actually become teachable. You become receptive to someone's insight and wisdom. Instead of when someone's giving you insight, you go, no, that's not me. You don't understand my situation. Dude, I've coached 60,000 hours. I do understand. I understand my situation. I'm a recovering addict who's hit rock bottom. My objective is to assist you not to do what I've done. It's very overrated. And ask Scott or Aaron Knight, two men who are on this Facebook Live with me, who have been in some of the same places I'm with. The pleasure isn't worth the pain. It's not worth rock bottom. You don't require any more lessons other than the ones you've already had. What you require is letting go. And if you can let go of feelings of being rejected or abandoned so you can feel resentful, see, there's a back end to rejection. Rejection has a back end. The rejection of back end is resentment. I resent the people who rejected me. The other back end of it is now I can be sensitive and defensive. I can pout. I can brood. And Wojo just hit the 16-penny nail in the head. He says it starts with becoming humble. So in David Hawkins' content on the book Letting Go, in his newest book, The Map of Consciousness Explains, he breaks down humility. And he says in there, in two different books, the truly humble cannot be humiliated. Now, when you understand that, you can easily and effortlessly let go by separating your feelings from the events and not giving the same meaning to the same situation. So if your father promised to pick you up on a Saturday when you were 11 years old and he didn't show up, he abandoned you. He didn't reject you. He lied to you. He overcommitted. He told you a story you would want to hear, and he didn't follow through on it. And so that type of situation, when you hold on to that and you give that meaning, and especially when it happens more than once, it's traumatic because someone who says they loved you just lied to you, and they stood you up when you're a child. You didn't deserve that. But unfortunately, that becomes a neurochemical moment that we tend to remember, and we give that meaning. So we give meaning to a lot of our past events. We either stuff them down, that's repression, or we keep doing them over and over, suppression, and we sabotage ourselves over and over. We sabotage our money, we sabotage our relationships, we just barely pull it off, we just get by. So I've seen people become so resourceful at money that they become good at money, they become good at creating it, but they don't really have any, so they have to pull it off at the last minute, which gives them the neurochemical high that keeps them emotionally addicted to the same fight or flight mechanism that addicts operate on. Addicts love that cardio cocktail, that pulling it off the last minute, waiting until it's rock bottom, waiting until there's the drama and the chaos that they can rescue themselves and go, dodged another bullet. Addicts are very dramatic. And when you start to understand, I don't require this recognition. This takes too much of my effort and time. This is exhausting. The pleasure isn't worth the pain. Then you can start to understand when someone doesn't buy, they may not be not buying from you. They're just not buying. They're not a buyer. And when you become skilled at qualifying buyers for your time, you'll be able to let go of people easily and effortlessly. When you start to understand that people offer objections, and those objections are not rejections. An objection is not personal. An objection says, I don't like you. That's not an objection. An objection is when someone has a reason not to buy, or a reason not to go on a date with you, or whatever the reason, that's their reason, and you're able to separate your feelings from their reason. So when someone says to you, you know, I'd really like to buy from you, but I don't have the money. So when they say that to you, it's going to be your responsibility to understand that's an objection, and it's going to be your responsibility in that frozen moment there, does that merit another question, or I just let this situation go? So if someone says to me, I'd like to buy, but I don't have the money, well, that's a buy signal with a hesitation signal. So I'd like to, but. So that's the contradiction. I will tend to ask another question to see where that situation is, and then I can tell whether there's going to be a transaction or not. And if it's not going to happen, I'm diplomatically going to exit that conversation. And more than likely, I will not follow up on that unless there's communication that lends me to feeling a follow-up is necessary. When someone says, yeah, well, YEHWELL, yeah, well, let me think about it and I'll get back to you. I heard that 3 times last week and no one got back to me. Now, they didn't get back to me because they were rejecting me. They got back to me because they were not qualified buyers. Now, they gave off the impression they were, but they didn't. I had a woman actually schedule a 20-minute call, and 1 hour right before the 20-minute call, something came up, and in the conversation, the message she sent me, she didn't ask for a reschedule. So, I mean, I could tell right then that that's not someone I'm going to do any follow-up with. So I'll say that again. So I had a 20-minute coaching session. The right before the 20-minute coaching session, she sent me a message letting me know an emergency had happened. It's not my responsibility to understand whether there's an emergency or not. I mean, what it means is she canceled the appointment. But what was important to me was in the way she communicated, she didn't say I'd like to reschedule. She just left it open-ended. Well, let me know she wasn't really serious. So I'm not pursuing that or following up with her. That is thanks, goodbye. I mean, that's an objection. Now, she did book a time and did hold up my time and then at the last minute did it, But that's also part of letting go of any resentment and just realizing that happens. And that's part of the process. And that wasn't personal. And I move on. So you have to understand the difference between an objection and a rejection. So the five most common objections that I've covered in my content, for those of you who are my coaching client, in my downloadable products that you own is Psychology of Prospecting, Psychology of Closing, and Psychology of Asking. It's a total of 28 CDs that are now on download. I cover this in great length. The five main objections: I don't have the money, I want to think about it, I want to run it by someone, the fireman, the dog catcher, someone down the street, I'm not interested, and then number five is I want to do my research. Number five is 15% of society, the research. That is the analytical personality that makes their buying habits and behaviors based on facts, figures, logic, and sense. And these are the type of people that want to know the EPA standards. They want to know FDA, FTC, Better Business Bureau, and oftentimes things like this, because they make their buying habits are based on analytics. But there's another 80 to 85% that buys emotionally. So the other four objections are, I don't have the money. Sometimes you can overcome that. Number two is, I want to think about it. Oftentimes, that is a put off. I want to pray on it. I mean, once again, you have to be able to determine, is this fact or fiction? Is this person sincere and serious? Or will this person actually follow through? And so there's money, think about it. And then the third party, they want someone else's opinion or credibility. And so those are the main three. And then there's the one who wants to do the research. I covered that, and I'm not interested. And not interested is not no. So when someone says, I'm not interested, or this isn't for me, or the timing isn't right, that does not merit more questions from my perspective. You can do this, but when I let people go easily and effortlessly and don't confront situations that do not merit any type of further communication, it's very simple and it's very easy. So the more you understand what rejection is and isn't, even if you're on a dating site or a dating service and someone lets you know they're not interested, it's going to be your responsibility to understand there's a million fish in the sea. And if someone isn't interested in me, it's going to be your responsibility not to personalize that, not to turn that into a situation, not to confront them. Why is that? I don't understand. I thought we were a good match. I mean, just let it go. See, the more you understand that is not rejection, that doesn't merit a conversation, just move on. Let it go. Take a deep breath. Release, receive, and move on. The pleasure isn't worth the pain. I've been coaching salespeople for 23 years as a coach, and then 10 years in my own teams that I built, and then in my own selling career. I used to close 15 sales a day with Southwestern Bell Yellow Pages, and I had to call in clients every single day. And in those days, back in the day, I would have people actually ask me to leave the premises occasionally, that they hated the phone company. They weren't hating me, but they weren't interested in the product I was selling, and I learned to not take it personally. That is called letting go, the separation of feelings from the events that shaped them. So if you're in a business, or you're in a situation where rejection is a way of life, and it's also important that you understand some of this you bring on, not all of it, but some of you bring on. So if you've been traumatized, victimized, abused in situations where rejection was prevalent, I mean, it was prevalent for many, many people. Rejection is a real issue. Abandonment is also a real issue. Once again, abandonment of the people who provide for you, but they're not emotionally available. They're there, but they're not really emotionally available. There's no real love going on. And so it's your responsibility to separate those two, between abandonment and rejection. Brooke, so good to see you. Everyone say hello to Brooklyn in Chicago. Brooke was an awesome client and friend of mine that I had the privilege of coaching for 2 years. There is a book called He's Scared, She's Scared. And a husband and wife team wrote it. And they wrote a series of books. I don't remember their name right off. I believe it's Sokol, S-O-K-O-L. It's a husband and wife team. But the name of the book, and they wrote several books, and a woman handed it to me once upon a time. It's very interesting. I was dating a woman who was a psychic once upon a time, and she handed me this book, He's Scared, She's Scared, and she goes, you have abandonment issues. I didn't even know what it meant at the time, but the book was mind-blowing. So great book, He's Scared, She's Scared, and they wrote a series of books. I mean, I had that book in the early 90s. Thank you, everyone, for saying hello to Brooke. My name is Jeffrey Combs. I am the president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. This was my syllabus for today's Facebook Live. And the very bottom point right there is always letting go. Always be letting go. Always letting go is a skill. Practice it. It will pay you dividends. Jeffrey Combs, president and founder, Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. I'll be here with you tonight on 2-4 Tuesday, 9 p.m. Pacific. That is 12 a.m. That would be on Wednesday morning. Have a great evening, everyone. Thank you, everyone, for being here. So good to see some old friendly faces. That if you haven't been here for a while, please come back. I'm here every evening, Monday through Thursday at 9 o'clock Pacific. Everyone say hello to Jose. Jose is my long-term client from Manteca, California, 15 miles down the highway. Jose is an exceptional young man. So I'll be here. I'm here every Monday through Thursday at 9 p.m. Pacific, and Friday and Saturday, 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock, and Sundays at 6. Have a great evening, everyone.